We are thinking about how God has ruled His house from beginning of time all the way to the end. And history is going somewhere. God is moving history so that God will be glorified. Sin came into the world. In the end, there will be no sin. God is ruling His house. And so, sometimes we call that dispensation. And throughout history, He is following a repeated process here. And we're going to do a little bit of review here. I have my review from the last time. Now, we're going to review dispensation, or we're going to look at rule number one. And that is in the garden. Some people call this, let me get a different, on your chart here, it calls the Adam's house, what is that word that's on the chart that starts with I-N-N?
Innocence.
Innocence is when I don't know something. What didn't Adam know when he was first created? What didn't he know? He didn't know sin. And that's why this first period of history, this first test, is called innocence. Now, just from our memories, let's do some further review. And what were some of the responsibilities, or on your chart, the revelations, that God gave Adam in innocence, in the very first period, from when Adam was created until sin came into the world? What did Adam have to do? What was his responsibilities? Okay, he had to tend the garden. He had to work. He was a farmer, right?
Right.
So God told him to work. All right. Any other responsibilities? What did God tell Adam to do? This is God told Adam. Did I spell that right? Responsibility. Yeah. What did God tell Adam to do? Yes, sir. Okay. Not eat the fruit. Alright. Let's put this down here. It's really, these two kind of go together, but don't eat the fruit. But there was one fruit in particular. Do you remember the tree, the name of the tree that the fruit came off of? The tree, what? It's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, okay? So it's about knowing. It's the tree about knowing good and evil. And so don't eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. All right. Was there anything else in the responsibility? Sounds like pretty drab work. What about, was Adam a king? Yeah, he was like king of the earth, wasn't he? He was the first man. What did God, what do kings do that God told Adam to do?
Rule.
Okay. He was to work, but he also was to rule. Adam was supposed to rule the world. Now, who is the God of this world today? Who is the God, who does the Bible say is the God of this world today? This is a trick question. Satan is the correct answer. The Bible says for people who don't believe, the good news about Jesus Christ, that the God of this world has blinded their eyes. And so Adam was in charge. Something happened after sin that changed his rule over the whole world. And he's still work, rule. I think everyone's a little slow today, so I'll put one in there. He was to multiply and fill the earth too, wasn't he? All right, so he was to... So those are responsibilities. And but the big test was, don't eat the fruit of the tree. What's the name of the tree? Of the knowledge of good and evil. The tree, the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. How did he do? Well, obviously, we're sitting here telling you about sin, and it came from that man, Adam, brought sin into the world. He ate, didn't he? The task was, don't eat, and Adam ate. All right, so what is the judgment? All right, if you steal something from the store, they put you in jail. All right, Adam ate something that God told him not to eat of. What was the punishment? Give me some ideas, because there's more than one thing that happened as punishment. Okay, you guys said the same thing at the same time. Separation and kicked out. All right? So, he got kicked out of what, Justin? Got kicked out of the garden. Okay? I'm going to use a school word here. If you get kicked out of school, you're expelled. All right? Adam was the first student who was expelled. And he was expelled from the garden, right? He also, when you think of separation, God said on the day you eat of it, you'll surely die. Oh, my hard word. Did I spell it right? He was also separated from God. Remember, God would come down to the garden and he would walk with Adam, and he would talk with Adam. Well, all that stopped after Adam sinned. So he was expelled from the garden. He was separated from God. Other punishments that have to do with sin. What?
Tough life.
Tough life. Hard work. Okay. He still has to work, right? But now... work is hard. In fact, God cursed. Man is under a curse. And what a curse is, a curse is the opposite of blessing. A blessing is when God says it's good and he makes a good thing happen. That's a blessing. A curse is when God says a bad thing and he makes a bad thing happen. So part of the bad thing, God said, you will die. And so part of the curse is that they would die. And part of the curse was that they would work hard. How would Eve's work change after the curse? What would be hard about Eve's work? Hard work for Eve is hard child bearing. Birth is going to be very hard for women. And so this is what happens. God gave a responsibility. People failed that responsibility. That was in a test. And there was a judgment. And that's what happened. Now, we're going to open our Bibles. And the next one is mankind. And there's another word. It's not innocence. Let's just get Noah out here for a minute here.
the next period of history, God is going to rule all of mankind. Adam's going to have children. He's going to rule by conscience. All right? There's not a set of rules. But let's look in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 5. Genesis 3, 5. Most all of our verses will be from the book of Genesis. All of our verses will be from the book of Genesis. And I want to read 2:17. Chapter 3 and verse 5. I better start with verse 4. Verse 4 of chapter 3 says, "The serpent," or the snake, or that Satan, "said to the woman, 'You surely shall not die. For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.'" What did Satan say would be the result of eating the fruit? They would know good and evil. What's the name of the tree? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So it makes sense that when Satan said, no, if you eat, God said don't eat, but Satan said, if you eat, you will know. God said, if you eat, you're going to die.
All right. Now look at 3:22. Oh, wait. Before that. Verse 6. Chapter 3 and verse 6. "When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate, and she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened." Wait, did Satan say that your eyes will be opened? Yes, and what happened? Their eyes were opened, but they also died. And they knew something. Now it says here, they knew that they were naked, and that means they knew now that they were sinners, and they had no covering in front of God. So when God came down into the garden, they're going to hide themselves because they know they've done evil. They know what good is, right? But now they know by experience. They know because they did it. They know evil because they did evil. So Satan was part right. He gave them a little bit of truth mixed with poison. And they bit it, just like that fish bites the worm on your hook. And he doesn't understand. He's not getting a meal. He's becoming your supper. All right, and that's the same with Adam. Adam ate, not realizing, and maybe realizing, but that he would die. His eyes would be open. And the consequence of this was that they did know good and evil, and they did die. And both of those things came true. And so, now verse 22. Let's do 21. Verse 21 and 22. 21 and 22. "Then the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. Then the Lord said, 'Behold, man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil.'" So what did God say they knew? He says, knowing good and evil. You see, when Adam had not sinned, he's attached to God like this. He's not dead. Every decision regarding good and evil directly comes from God. And he's only going to get good. He'll never know evil. But when God and man are separated. Now, man is going to, with his conscience, decide what is good, what is bad. And you know what? That was God's job. God's job was to decide for Adam what was good for him. And Adam's job was to respond to God, and if God said it was bad, just to believe it. If God said it was good, just to believe it. Now he's separated, isn't he? Now it's up to Adam. How will Adam do for the next period of history just with his conscience? You know what your conscience is? A little voice inside of you that says, oh, that's okay. Or if you're going to steal something, something says, don't do it. That's bad. That's bad. All right. You know the voice in here that says good, bad, yes, no, do it, don't do it. That's your conscience. That's the voice. So I have a guy's head here. Do you see the man's head? And you see in the head is a light bulb. All right. Man is going to live now. God said he's like one of us. And the thing he's going to know is he's going to want to live forever. Like us also, he'll go back and he'll get in the garden the fruit from the tree of life and he'll live forever. And so God is now going to make a change. And God is now going to rule mankind a different way. He ruled through innocence, just one command. He gave him responsibility, test, failure, judgment. Now, he's going to rule people through their conscience. And so, there are two things that God teaches Adam. And let's see, number one is in verse 21, the Lord God made garments of skin. Now, did God just like want to make clothing here? God had a point in making garments of skin. He doesn't really explain, because he only has one verse here. But you and I know from the rest of the Bible that an animal was killed. And that a sacrifice was made by God to cover Adam's sins. And so part of the rule during this time, is people are now required to make sacrifices when they sin. So if somebody steals something, he has to say, I'm sorry, give you back what he stole. And then he has broken God's rules, so he has to make a sacrifice so that every time he sins, something dies. Does that make sense? Every time a person sins, another animal dies. So that people will really, really know that the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life. So in the sacrifice, there's the payment for the sin, and then there's the covering for the sin also. And then the other responsibility, we could put conscience, but his other responsibility now is just to know. And I'm going to abbreviate good, big responsibilities now. Man is separated from God. He has to make his own decisions on what's right and what's wrong. And when he does wrong, he has to make sacrifices to God. Now, something else. Remember the work back here? Back here? The work continues. All right, now he continues to work. Do you know the ruling that God said, Adam, you're supposed to rule? Now he's going to rule also, but it's more difficult. And so some of the responsibilities from here are continuing here. If you look at the picture, this makes sense. God is building history. And he's building history one house at a time. Until finally, at the end of history, God will be all and in all. And so this is like the first step in God's program. He's proved man has failed. All right, so the test will be...
Do right?
Do right is not one word. Do right. Do right is, well, it could be do right is two words. Do right, and that's the test. When he sins, will he sacrifice?
So, let's see how he did. All right?
Because now we have to see, did he fail?
And the answer coming up very soon here. Look at chapter 4 and verse 1. Genesis 4, verse 1. I'm going to read some of the story of Cain and Abel. But when I read the story of Cain and Abel, you're going to say, well, I know that story, and you're not going to listen. But pay attention to the story of Cain and Abel. And as you pay attention, how did Cain and Abel do in the test of doing right? Did they do right? And did they offer sacrifice? Because this is the big test. How will man do just by deciding himself? Verse 1, now the man had relations with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. And she said, I have gotten a man-child. And if you note, the help with the help of is in italics. It appears as if she's saying, I have gotten a man-child, the Lord. That she actually believed that the promise that God gave her for a Savior was being fulfilled in her first child, Cain. She thought Cain would be the Savior that was promised in Genesis 3:16. I think it was 3:16 or 3:15. Again, verse 2, she gave birth to his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the flocks, and Cain was a tiller of the ground. So we have Adam and Eve, and they have two children. They have, who is the firstborn? Cain. And then the secondborn is Abel. All right. So they're up for a test. Verse 3, so it came about in the course of time. Now, what I am going to do for us in this verse is I'm going to translate it differently. So listen to this. So it came about at the appointed time. In other words, the verse is saying that there was a time appointed where the boys had to do something. A time came in their life or a time came in the year. It says, it came about at the appointed time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord from the fruit of the ground. Now, how did that offering that he brought, the fruit of the ground, differ from the first offering that God made for Adam and Eve? Why was it different? What was God's first offering for sin? He gave them the clothing. It was animal, right? All right. The first offering, the first sacrifice, same thing, offering, sacrifice, is an animal and its blood. Cain's offering is what he works very hard from. It's something that grows from the sinful earth. And it's the fruit, it's his vegetables, it's whatever he grew. He brought that as an offering to God. Verse 4, Abel, now this is the younger brother, Abel on his part also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions. Now, what is Abel's offering? Animals, right? And the firstlings means the firstborn of the animals in his flock. He brought something like a lamb. We don't know if it is a lamb, but it was an animal, and it could have been a lamb.
And that's a lot like the sacrifice that God made. Now, what we don't see, because there's only so many words you can put in this book, is God very selectively stated what he wants us to know. But in a bigger conversation, he told Adam and Eve exactly what he wanted them to bring, so that we understand that there was an appointment from what this verse says. And at that appointment, and it may have been once a year, it may have been at a certain time in their life, that these boys were now to bring their own offering. Adam and Eve taught their children that sin brings death, that sacrifice covers sin. And as they made their choices then, it says in verse 4 again, and the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering. That means he looked at his offering and he said, that's good. There was something about Abel's offering that was good. It was an animal. Verse 5, for Cain and his offering. Now maybe you've picked up the details here, but it's for Abel, the man, and his offering, his work, God said, I don't accept that. But then for Abel and his offering, he accepted Abel. He looked favorably on Abel and on his offering. And so verse 5 ends with, so Cain became very angry and his countenance fell. He became angry and then he got even madder and sadder. How's conscience working for Cain? What is Cain going to have to do now to pass this test? Let's keep reading. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why is your countenance fallen? You know what God is saying? Wouldn't you like to have a good conscience? Wouldn't you like to have a happy life? Wouldn't you like to do the right thing? So he says, why has your countenance fallen? Verse 7, if you do well. What was the test here? Do right. That's the same as do well. If you do well, will not your countenance, that's your face. If you do well, won't you be happy? Did you ever notice? People in jail usually aren't that happy. Now, some people who are not in jail aren't that happy, but I think if person for person, there's more happy people out of jail than there are in jail. Because this is true. If you do well, you have the opportunity for a cheerful face and a happy life. If you don't do well, then it almost always means that you will have a bad conscience. And he says this, and if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it. And Cain told his brother Abel, and it came about when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and he said, where do I get one of those lambs? I'd like to offer up a lamb just like you offered up. Can I buy one of your lambs? Is that what he did? No. He rose up and he killed his brother. And so God gave him the opportunity. He said, your offering is bad. Your behavior is bad. And God says, now, he even told him, this is a test. And if you change and you pass this test, you're going to be a happy fellow with God. So, he failed, right? That was his failure. So what was Cain's failure? Well, he did not do right. This is do right, D-R. And he did not, S-A-C, sacrifice. He did not do right. He did not offer up the sacrifice. And so God is judging him. There should be. Look at verse 11. Now you are cursed from the ground which has opened in its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand.
And you shall cultivate the ground. It shall no longer yield its strength for you. You shall be a vagrant and wanderer on the earth. So there was a punishment. And part of the punishment is the curse got worse. If you thought work was hard before, he told Cain, wait until you try working now. Not only will you fight the weeds, but the ground is not going to be fertile like it was before the fall too. Now, this is not all. All right, here's our pen. Responsibility. You can see the responsibility to sacrifice and use your conscience to decide what's right. If you break your conscience, sacrifice, cover your sin. Individually, Cain fell right away. But what about everyone after Cain? And so, Genesis 6. Every verse is in Genesis. Genesis chapter 6. So turn a page, maybe two pages. Genesis chapter 6. And verse 1 through 7. Now it came about when men began to multiply on the face of the ground and daughters were born to them. Now, here we got something right. Remember the command back here to multiply and fill the earth? All right. So, check one for humanity. They multiplied and they filled the earth. All right. But it's really too late to get all the benefit of that because they've lost it under sin, but it's still a responsibility. All right, so sons and daughters, the world is filling with people. And now verse 2, that the sons of God, I have to explain this. Throughout the Old Testament, the term sons of God is different than we use it in the New Testament. It always means angels in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, anyone who is born directly from God, John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children or sons of God, right? Here's what a son of God is in technical terms. Someone who's born of God. It could be an angel. Angels are always first generation creatures. The angels don't have children. You go to heaven, you do not become an angel. I hope you know that. All right. God made so many angels. They're all sons of God because they're created directly by God. In the day and age that you and I live, the moment you trust Jesus as Savior, you are born again. It's a direct birth from above. The term also means born from above. And so we are sons of God by direct birthing or creation of God. Angels, in this context, the sons of God are angels. There were no sons of God like we know today in the Old Testament. And you can go through in the book of Job and show that the sons of God refers to the angels. So anyway, that the angels saw that the daughters of men were beautiful, and they took wives, literally women, they took women for themselves. Because marriage, to take a wife, marriage is between a human man and a human woman, and it's one man and one wife for all of life. And so there was actually angels coming, assuming human form, and you say, angels don't have bodies. No, angels don't have bodies. But when we get to Genesis 18, it's very obvious that angels can take bodies. And angels appeared with God the Son when he appeared to Abraham, and they went off then to be the instruments of judgment in Sodom. And so these angels took on human form because the epitome of the beauty of the creation of God were these creatures that angels had never saw. It wasn't ugly men, it was beautiful women. And even the angels thought that the daughters of men were beautiful. And so they took on bodies and bodily functions, just like the angels ate in Genesis 18. They procreated. They had babies here in Genesis chapter 6. And the Lord said, "My spirit shall not strive with man forever, because he also is flesh. Nevertheless, his days shall be 120 years. This verse is not saying that men will now live for 120 years, because it's just not the way it works. He's saying there's 120 years, and he's going to flood the world. Just remember, he told Cain, if you do right, will not your countenance be lifted? What he said to Cain individually in this big test, he now says to the world corporately, as a whole world, he says, if you do right, will not your whole civilization be changed? Will not your whole culture be changed? And he says, you've got 120 years. That was the appointed time for mankind before God is going to judge the world by water. And he says, then, verse 5, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that, now remember his conscience, every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. What does God say about man's conscience right before Noah? I got to put Noah back up there. He says that the heart of man is evil continually. And he gave them an opportunity. And you know what? They did not do right. And the judgment, what's going to be the judgment now that's going to come? This is the worldwide failure. Yes, the flood. Two of the things that God says about the world that was judged by God is that it was filled with violence. People were killing each other. And then there was angels involved in the affairs of men. We have a word for it today. We call it demonic activity. We call it occult activity. People who talk to dead people through spirits. People who tell fortunes by looking at tea leaves or by bones. Who communicate with the dead. And people who use Ouija boards. In this day, part of the failure was man and the satanic evil world came together. Just in the same way here, where Satan spoke to Eve and there was demonic involvement, in the second failure there's demonic involvement as well. Now, if we think just up to where we are today, it's just like the days of Noah. There is a lot of demonic activity. Kids are reading books about the occult. Fantasy books are all geared on the spirit world and doing things that God said that there should be no connection between man and the evil spirit world. And yet even in Christian literature, it's glorified to have a connection between man and the dark spirit world. And the only connection a Christian should have with the spirit world is through Jesus Christ and be seated in the heavenly places in Christ. And the one thing, of course, we fail in is prayer and coming before the throne of grace that we might receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So, we've gone two steps. Alright? We've looked at two houses. We've looked at the house of Adam and then the house of conscience for mankind, and every time, responsibility, failure, judgment, God is also going to show mercy. He's going to pick out a Noah. God knows that you have sinned. And he always has an opportunity for mercy. The opportunity today is Jesus Christ.
It's all prepared. The sacrifice is made. All you have to do is receive that sacrifice. The boys had an appointed time where they had to come and bring that sacrifice. The Lord says, now is the appointed time. Today is the day of salvation. If you never have trusted Jesus to do what only Jesus can do, take away your sins and make you right and clean, do that this morning. If you have, praise God that God is working in history, and there will be a point when we get here that God is going to be all and in all. You see, the theme of history is not salvation. People will be saved, some, but the theme of history is God will be glorified. And that's our prayer today, that God would be glorified in each of us now. So, we should pray. Let's pray for the week. Let's pray that God will help us to understand these lessons. Father, thank you for this part of your word that teaches us how you ruled over people before the flood, how you ruled over Adam. We thank you that you are a God of mercy. You had mercy for Cain if he would accept it. You had mercy for the world and you grabbed out Noah. You had mercy for Adam and you gave him skins and you killed an animal. I pray, Father, that we would live with clear consciences today by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray in his name. Amen. One more thing I forgot. Okay? What is this word, everyone?
Conscience.
All right? And we failed in conscience, right? Is conscience still important today? Yes. Even though we failed, it's important to keep a clean conscience. It's the same like work continued, right? Conscience continues. God is still expecting us to do what our conscience tells us to do is right. All right? And that's what I forgot to tell you. So that's the extra piece. Thank you.